Ma.
Are you ready? Welcome everybody to the Playback Podcast. I'm your host Noah. I got my good friend Hyder over here. Today's a special episode. We're going to be talking about my favorite MCU trilogy slash franchise, which is Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 came out. Hyder got the chance to watch it today. I've watched it 3 times already. So we're going to be talking about that today. And we also got a little bit of movie news. We don't have too much today, but it's mostly just going to be focused on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Typically how we do things here is we do movie news first and then get into the movie of the week. And then after that, we start with some like trivia or something else to fill up the time. Today, we're actually going to do the movie of the week today because I've been waiting for you to watch this fucking movie. And I got really mad that I couldn't talk about it until 4 days after I saw it. And I've seen it 3 times already. So thank you for, you know, making me wait. I appreciate that. So first off, we're going to be talking about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, non-spoilers, and then we're going to get into a spoiler discussion. Honestly, the non-spoiler part is just going to be pretty fast, because I really want to get into the spoilers. It's the last movie of the Guardians, so I feel like we have to get into that right away. Anything else you want to say? How are you doing?
Good, obviously, and I finally got to watch the movie.
Right.
I just have less have other stuff to do.
Yeah, put your mic a little closer.
No, I'm doing good.
Yeah.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I heard you got a new car. I didn't hear, I saw it today.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
How is that? What kind of car did you get?
I don't want people to find me, so I'm not gonna tell you the type of car I get.
All right,
we don't have followers right now.
Okay. Yeah. You didn't have to make that weird, but yeah, okay.
Oh, I made that weird? How about our sponsors? Time for a sponsor right now, right?
What the hell are you talking about? Can you move your mic a little closer?
Yeah, sorry, I was trying to fix it. It's just...
Extend that thing.
Yeah.
I'm not cutting this episode, by the way. I'm not going to edit that much. Yeah, just extend that thing. Oh, wait.
Hello.
Better.
Nah, I'm just ready to get into this.
You ready to get into it? Yeah, we literally just got out of the theater. About what, like 30 minutes ago or so, and it's a great movie. I'm just gonna get right into it. Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is a great movie. I was so worried going into this movie just because, you know, Marvel has kind of a bad reputation right now. The reputation is that their CGI isn't that great. It's just a huge like CGI mess. They don't care about characters, and then we get Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and it's everything that we wanted it to be, at least for me. First of all, what did you think? You just got out of seeing it. I've already seen it 3 times. What do you like? Just not going into spoilers or anything, pros, cons, anything?
As usual, the music was great. Mm-hmm. Like you said, probably the weakest of the three.
Mm-hmm.
Still really good because the other two are just really, really high bars to reach. Writing was amazing in this movie. I don't think a single character was used wrong. Even characters that other people are upset about that we'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, everybody was used perfectly. The cameos were not taking away from the story at all. You saw people. They were part of the story. You moved on from them. Another thing, you can tell that this was a James Gunn like love project. He loved everything about it. All the actors were locked in. That's pretty much it. Everything else, special effects is amazing. Every single landscape in this movie looked great. That's all I have to say. What about you?
I agree with everything that you just said. I think that you bring up a good point with the cameos, because that's also something that James Gunn has a bad reputation for. Which is stupid because every single director puts their friends and puts people that they like working with in their movies. James Gunn is just one of those directors. And I feel like this probably would have been the most, not going into the spoilers yet on who those cameos are, but this is probably one of the most, it's the most noticeable of his cameos that I have seen so far. And I thought that might be a little bit distracting, but when you watch the movie, it's not distracting at all. They're pretty much on the scene, on the movie for like a minute or two combined. And I enjoyed it really a lot. I think that with the CGI, with the complaints that we've been getting, I think like episode two or episode three, we covered Victoria Alonso. She stepped down as visual effects president. And I'm not sure if that had anything to do with the quality of this. Maybe they did some more post-production during the time that she got fired. But the visual effects in this were fantastic. And I always think that they are for the Guardians movies. Colors, they pop. Again, I'm colorblind, so you know I can't see it that well. But the fact that I like the colors in this says a lot. And Guardians has always been very colorful. In the middle of space, you know, in Guardians 1, you have the scene with Gamora and Star-Lord listening to music for the first time. That's a very colorful scene. The entirety of Guardians 2 is super colorful. This one, it's they play with the colors a little bit. I love how I'm colorblind and I'm talking about the colors like so much. But they play with the colors a little bit because it's a lot darker colors. And that matches the theme of the movie, too. Speaking of the theme, this is obviously a Rocket origin story. You get a lot more of Rocket's background to the entirety of the trilogy. And I love it. It was a good in. And everything just made sense. It wasn't like... okay, you know how in Quantumania, where you just find shit out, like right then and there. Mm-hmm. They kind of hinted at it in the earlier ones, but in Quantumania, they kind of just throw out like Janet's backstory, right? You can tell that James Gunn was leading up to all of the stuff that he put in Guardians 3. And there's something, okay, well, I'll save that for later, but I think that James Gunn directs the hell out of this movie. This is definitely his movie. The writing is snappy. It's hilarious. I think it's one of the funniest Marvel movies, like, we've ever gotten. A lot of the jokes landed for me. I think the performances were great. You have Chris Pratt, obviously a Star-Lord. Zoe Saldana, which is like, she's playing the other version of Gamora, which is very refreshing. And, you know, it gives her something new to do. And I think she plays it very, very well. You got Dave Bautista, who is just proving that he is pretty much the best wrestler turned actor there has ever been. And then you have Bradley Cooper as Rocket, Vin Diesel as Groot, who says like three words. You know, he's great also. And then I know that you really loved Nebula, Karen Gillan as Nebula. Mm-hmm. She was great. I think that they gave her the best character development besides like the main cast in Guardians. I think that she's definitely the biggest side character for the Guardians. And in this movie, she proved it as well. So she was amazing. And then Pom Klementieff, she was also my favorite side character of the movie. And and you know, obviously you have like Sean Gunn, who is James Gunn's brother. And then you have Maria Bakalova. Yeah, there you go. Playing Cosmo the Space Dog. I think the entirety of the movie was like just pitch perfect. I think that they did everything that they wanted to, and I'm really glad that they did. Anything else you want to say about, you know, pros, cons? Do you have a con?
Not. It's legit just me being super picky. Like, that's the thing, is I have to go super picky into it. It was just, like, the choice of certain songs. Mm-hmm. But the timing of every single song was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I've only watched it once, but Noah did mention something about it dragging a little bit in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I didn't notice it that much because remember, this was my first watch through. Noah's watched it three times.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the entire movie. It flowed from start to beginning. The mix of action and story was really, really, really good. Mm-hmm. And then again, James Gunn's probably one of the best storytellers right now.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And what's crazy about, you know, what you said about the music, yeah, he picks great music. Not only just great music, but he knows when to put the song at the exact moment. And I think that if we really want to get nitpicky, I would just say that the first half, after watching it three times, the first half does drag a little bit. But that I feel like that's only because I want to get to the second half so badly and the third act so badly because it's just so good. First half is obviously very good also. But I did find myself on rewatch, you know, just trying to get through that first half already. You also mentioned that the music was very good, And this is just all credits to James Gunn, but I do think this is the weakest soundtrack that he's had so far. However, that's not saying a lot because every single soundtrack is good, is actually like really great. And yeah, I think it's the least favorite for me, at least, soundtrack wise. What was your favorite song in this movie?
We'll talk about it later, but the song that they use at the end.
Yeah, I think so too. Oh, and the first song.
It's actually a song a lot of people, a couple people on Twitter I've read about didn't like. It's the walk-in song. Okay. The final like battle song.
Oh, okay.
I actually really liked it.
I liked it too.
I don't know if you were reading on Twitter, but people didn't like that they used that.
Mm-hmm. And I'll get into that a little bit later. This is like a nitpicky thing, but overall, I watched it 3 times, like I said, and it's been the same score every single time. I'm giving it a 9.5 out of 10. It's not necessarily a 10 because there is a couple things that don't really work for me. But again, a 9.5 out of 10 is as close as perfect as you can get for the final movie of a trilogy. What would you give it?
I agree. 9.5 out of 10. Nothing I can like point out like is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that there's like such small details that I'm like, oh, that could have been done a little differently.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not a director. I'm not gonna tell James Gunn how to direct. He won't give a fuck what I'm saying. But it was a fucking good ass movie, and I will watch it again.
I will definitely watch it again also, for a fourth time. Yeah, so that's gonna do it for the non-spoiler section. Sorry if we kind of just went through that. We really want to talk about spoilers now. Go ahead, you can start off first.
Are we starting this like from the beginning, or do we want to just go into whatever spoiler we want to talk about?
Anything, talk about anything.
All right, I'm glad you said that.
All right, go ahead.
This isn't a spoiler as much as it doesn't affect the story at all. We talked about cameos.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are pissed that his wife was in the movie.
Mm.
She has the fucking smallest role ever.
Literally.
And yeah. I loved it. I was like, oh, she's not even a fucking main character. Not even a side character.
She gets shot in the leg.
She gets shot in the leg too. Yeah. He gets his wife shot in the leg.
Yeah.
Though there is a cameo that's just a returning character, and it was used perfectly. He was in the movie for 2 minutes. Sylvester Stallone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Come back as like a rabid, like the fuck, wasn't he Ravager Prince mm-hmm. or something like that? Yeah. I don't know. That was good. Introducing new characters, like they introduced obviously Adam Warlock, and a lot of people are pissed that the way they used Adam Warlock, but it made so much sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like watching the movie, I'm like, oh, I get what he's fucking doing.
Yeah.
It's a baby in a man's body.
Yeah. And I think I told you this in the theater also earlier, that this was my third time watching it, and every single time that I watched it again, I liked Adam Warlock more and more. Because, like you said, it's a baby, right? And also, if they were going to give you... Like, a lot of people are citing the fact that this isn't really a comic-accurate Adam Warlock. If you put comic-accurate Adam Warlock into... is it working?
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to lay my head back. I don't want to, like, pull...
Oh, okay, no, yeah. you're good for me.
You're good.
what was I saying?
Comic-accurate Adam Warlock.
If you put a comic-accurate Adam Warlock in this Guardian story, the movie would be over in 10 minutes.
Oh, he's fucking all of them.
10 minutes. Literally, it's that first walk in and the titles and Peter Quill getting drunk. And then as soon as Adam Warlock comes in, if this was a comic book accurate Adam Warlock, it's over. And I like the fact that they threw in this little explanation that, what's her name? Princess Aisha. Or High Priestess Aisha, or whatever her name is.
Yeah, it was High Priestess.
Mm-hmm. I like that she said to the High Evolutionary, oh, well, you took him out of his cocoon early. So he's a baby.
And not even just a baby, he's underdeveloped.
He doesn't know how to use his powers, and that's a perfect explanation for it. A perfectly good explanation for why he isn't as powerful. But
if you pay attention to, at the end of the movie, again, spoilers, if you haven't watched the movie yet, please go watch this. Like, you really need to go watch this movie. When you see that he spent more time around people that aren't going to coddle him and not going to treat him like shit, he shows a lot more development at the end of the movie because he's actually just having a conversation with them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what's your favorite song? I think, what did he choose? Carpenters?
Who's?
Adam Warlock, when he shows, like, oh, my favorite band right now.
Carpenters, yeah.
Yeah, see, like, he's just having a regular conversation and then he goes and uses his powers.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you need to give him time to develop. And people were mad at the use of Adam Warlock, he's not going to get fucking become the main villain or main hero right away. Yeah, give him some time. And he's also Will Poulter. They signed him to multiple contracts. There's no way they didn't.
And it, like, if you even keep up with Guardians of the Galaxy, the team involves Adam Warlock. So even if you really wanted him to be like the big bad, he wasn't going to stay the big bad for long, right? He was going to join the team regardless.
Everyone, I think, watching the trailer understood right away that he most likely is. Well, right away, they knew he wasn't the big bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The High Evolutionary.
Now, one of my predictions, first of all my predictions were wrong. I thought that someone was going to die. That's the biggest surprise for me in this movie, is that nobody fucking died. Mm. And the fact that it worked so well in the end. You don't have to, and it's weird because I realized this after the movie ended, but you don't have to kill someone to give them a satisfying ending to the movies. They were able to write off Mantis very well. Yeah, it makes sense. She was basically a slave to Ego, and then she was a part of Guardians for all of her life, right? She would want to go out and discover herself. Drax. Oh, dude, the fucking line that Nebula tells Drax, "You were not meant to be a destroyer. You were meant to be a dad." I cried every single time that I fucking heard that. And again, like I said, in the non-spoiler part, Dave Bautista is the best fucking wrestler turned actor that I've seen. And I think that there probably ever will be, because The Rock doesn't do that much. And then John Cena, he's getting better too. But I think Dave Bautista has that in the back.
I think it comes more naturally to him.
Yeah. Oh, no, not naturally. I think he had to work for that shit.
No, like, but I'm not saying naturally. Like, it makes more sense for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who was your favorite ending to the character arc?
Oh, fucking Nebula. Think about it.
Really, why?
So I don't know if you guys remember my prediction. I don't know if I ever talked about my prediction on here, but I thought Nebula would take over the team. Because it just made the most sense to me. She got an even better ending than that. They have like a small town. It's called Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They get a bunch of new people, and Nebula decides to take lead, but keeps Drax. And I think, does she keep Groot? No, she doesn't keep Groot. She keeps just Drax.
Yeah, just Drax.
Because Drax help is like to help take care of the kids, because he's the only one that's actually a father.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses that to his ability in this movie. But Nebula points it out and goes, "I need help here." And
you don't have to keep looking at the camera, by the way.
I don't know if you want to make eye contact.
I was editing the last podcast, and I saw you go, "Yeah, so like I really enjoy the movie." Anyway, okay, go. Sorry.
All right, but yeah, Nebula gets to take care of the town.
Yeah,
and it's essentially all she wants is to like fit in somewhere.
And I didn't. Yeah, so that's something that I also didn't predict. I didn't think that Nebula would have that big of a role going forward. And not even just like a big role for the MCU, but just like taking on like a motherly figure and being like almost like a big sister to all these kids and all these animals and stuff. And I love the line that she says too, something about like, give them the childhood I never had or something like that. Give them the life that I never had. That was beautiful. And from me watching the first two movies, I would have never guessed that's where they went. So that just proves that James Gunn did a lot of character development for Nebula in this one singular movie.
Yes. Another thing that I want to point out, and it's obvious, it's very obvious with Nebula, but it's not as obvious with smaller characters, or it's not smaller characters, the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
People in Marvel movies, directors, again, James Gunn, in my opinion, setting the pace for Marvel again. Why are they afraid to do off-screen like character development? I don't have to see it like actually develop for them, but them using that development, like Nebula and Rocket's relationship, obviously wasn't on screen right away. They have some sort of like prior history now,
mm-hmm.
and then like he calls her Nebs, and she starts crying when she finds out Rocket's alive.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot, and I think it's less of off screen development and more of like the other directors having to deal with that, because James Gunn didn't direct Infinity War and Endgame. So I feel like with that, it's kind of just given that, oh, hey, the entirety of the Guardians died except for Nebula and Rocket. So you kind of just assume that they were, you know, together, and that's why that that relationship is so strong in the third one. There was a couple scenes in Endgame too where it was Nebula and Rocket, and they were just, you know, like super tight. So it's kind of like an off-screen development, but also it's not really James Gunn's fault either, just because he didn't have control of that. I love that they called out the Russo brothers for what they did with Chris Pratt and Peter Quill in Endgame, because, or Infinity War, with his stupid mistake of hitting Thanos. And I don't know, to me, that worked, but I can see why James Gunn was frustrated at the time with how they took the character, because then he had to rewrite the character arc of Gamora. And because Gamora probably wasn't going to die, that was probably never in the plans. So, yeah, I really love what they did with Gamora and Peter Quill's story arc, more so Gamora.
I actually like this version of Gamora more than the first two.
Me too. I agree.
A lot more selfish, which, again, it's just a Marvel movie. Also, oh, my God, let me get into this a little bit later, but they got away with so much shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think James Gunn knew he wasn't making another Marvel movie, most likely mm-hmm. not making another Marvel movie. Mm-hmm. So he was just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Literally.
No, yeah, he literally, first F-bomb, which I'm very happy about. Honestly, I don't care if it's not Deadpool. A lot of people were talking about this. I don't care if it's not Deadpool saying it. He's not known for saying the F-word first. Like, that's just how he is, right? And a lot of people could have said the first F-word in Marvel. They just never did. And I'm glad that the first F-word in the MCU actually came with a good, like, scene. It was funny. It was a funny-ass scene.
It wasn't just, like, the typical fuck you to, like, a villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing that I thought was really cool was, this is like a very, very subtle detail, and I'm glad I caught it my first time watching it, but during like Rocket and the High Evolutionaries, what's his actor's name? I can never remember it.
Chakuti Iwuji.
Okay.
Chakuti
Iwuji. Fucking great actor. 2 for 2 in comic book like projects.
Projects, yeah.
Yep. Their first one of the first couple of interactions, he has Rocket in his lap.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have that whole conversation, and he's playing opera in the background, mm-hmm. and it's showing him in like this like very, very bright light, like legit, like this lights were very like light tone, mm-hmm. bright, and then it plays it again after he wipes out everybody around him,
mm-hmm.
and it's playing the same song, but now he's like the fucking destroyer.
Yeah,
and then he says like, I guess I'll have to purge them all, just so casually,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, we'll raise the entire earth. He just talks about genocide like it's nothing to him, because he's done this for hundreds and hundreds of years,
mm-hmm.
but like it goes to the smallest detail with, I'm hoping it was both them, their touches, but most likely just a James Gunn thing, so far as correcting the way that Rocket says can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, can't.
Yeah. I picked that up too, because this guy is like so intellectual, and you can already tell with the lines that he's been given. He's so intellectual, and I love his motivation in this movie, that he is such a genius that he made something that surpassed him as a genius, and he can't fucking take that. He can't deal with that. He can't deal with another being smarter than him and being not able to study what actually makes Rocket like so intelligent.
Yeah.
I read this too about Rocket and his character development. You find out in this movie that his real superpower is his brain. You know,
yeah.
It's his, like, he's not just the talking raccoon with a gun anymore. He's actually like an inventor. He's smart and he's intellectual too. And I really like that they did that for him, because, you know, before that he was kind of just a raccoon with guns, right? That's what he was known for, but they really leaned into it. He kind of MacGyvers a key that leaves that lets him let out his friends, which is one of the most heartbreaking parts of the movie, and it's so beautiful and it's so perfect, and I love what they did with that scene. His friends were one of my favorite parts of the movie, I think.
I know when we got out of the movie, I talked to you immediately about the voice acting.
Yeah.
Again, we said it 1,000 times, I watch a lot of anime. I watch a lot of like shows and shit. Voice acting is like one of like the hardest things to do, is put emotion into somebody you're not actually portraying.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Bradley Cooper, mm-hmm. in this movie with this like really like it's like this really guttural scream.
Yeah,
and it went on for like, I was like, you know, one breath scream would be crazy, but he screamed for like felt like a 2 minute like
it scene. It was a legit like gut punch, yeah. of a scream. One thing, though, I don't know if that was actually Bradley Cooper or not, because I thought the entirety of the movie was going to be by Bradley Cooper, and they do exactly what Groot does, and they kind of just modulate his voice. Like, when he was Baby Groot, it's still Vin Diesel, and they just modulate his voice a little bit. But I guess for Baby Rocket, Teen Rocket, and then, like, you know, actually Rocket, they're three different voice actors. So I don't know who did the voice for Teen Rocket. Maybe it was Bradley Cooper, but either way, whoever did the fucking scream, that shit actually, like, made me tear up more than, like, the shot. It wasn't the fact that Lila got shot that made me cry. It was the fucking scream in the aftermath. And then fucking floor going off in the back. She's having a whole ass panic attack. Rocket Teeth's floor going out. And, you know, they end up getting shot also.
Teeth's, like, trying to calm everybody down.
Oh, God, that was fucking crazy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was I saying? Where was I going with this? Sorry. What was I saying before that? Voice acting. Okay. You got into it, but the person who also voice acts for Floor, that shit was so good. Mm-hmm. Like, the amount of emotion in that scene is crazy. Because Teefs is, like, a very, like, laid-back character, and Floor is this, like, super, like, Floor's a rabbit. So, like, very, 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 like, high-paced, like, emotional, like, creature. Just screaming over and over again, Rocket, Teefs, Floor, go now. And Noah told me that line before the movie. I didn't understand the context behind it. So I had just assumed it was going to be, like, Lila dying and then before dying saying that. Mm-hmm. Nope. It was, like, this rabbit just having a fucking panic attack. Yeah, way worse than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, man. I think that all the voice acting in this movie was great. I think that just the way that they portrayed Rocket's backstory too, through flashbacks, I didn't know how that was going to work, because I would assume that when the movie was in production and they said that it was going to be more of a Rocket origin story, I'd assume that Rocket was going to be a main player, as he usually is, for the majority of the movie, but he's really not. You know, he's in the coma ever since he got fucked up by Adam Warlock in the very beginning. And then he's pretty much in a coma for the next, like, hour and a half maybe. And you get him for the last, like, 40 minutes. But, yeah, we didn't really see him for the majority of the movie. And I was curious on how they were going to do the backstory if he was in a coma. The flashbacks really worked for me. Flashbacks don't work for a lot of people because they just think, like, oh, it's kind of just, you know, throw it in there for the audience, but it really doesn't have much to do with the story. But they were able to weave it in, because the first scene with you know, the High Evolutionary reaching his hand out to grab Rocket, and then it just, like, morphs into Rocket's eyes right now, and then he starts walking to Creep. That was beautiful. So you already know that he's thinking about his past as soon as the movie starts. And that kind of just set it up for me with how they did the flashbacks. So,
I remember what I was getting at just now, by the way, while you were talking. I was going to say, Rocket showing himself that he was smarter than the other things that the High Evolutionary was creating was just intuition, too. Because he started, like, if it's very, like, small, started stealing parts. And right away, he knew he was going to build a key, and he was hiding parts. So I could tell that somewhere in, like, Rocket's head or something, he built had already built a backup plan without knowing.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when he was, like, you were talking about the scene with Rocket, Baby Rocket, on High Evolutionary's knee. He's, like, looking up to High Evolutionary as, like, a father figure at that point. But he still feels the need to go steal a part real quick before he runs back to High Evolutionary. And I think that has to do with the fact that he made friends the first time he was put in the cage, you know, with the shaved head. Oh, dude, when he had the shaved head and his first words were hurts. Oh, that shit is crazy. I was going to put this as a news story, but I might as well just put it now. PETA, the organization, has stated that Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 is the greatest animal rights movie of all time. And that's kind of crazy, I think.
Dude, I had so many people the first couple of days walk out and say, I can't watch it.
Yeah, and, okay, well, first of all, keep going with that.
Like, we had, like, a lady legit was, like, white in the face, like, about to pass out because, like, she said she loves animals and, like, those scenes fucked them up. I'm not gonna lie, they got away with a lot of dark shit, but it was not, like,
It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't that bad.
It was just like more left up to imagination.
Yeah. There was more in the trailers that they showed with animal cruelty than in the actual movie. The most you see, and I heard you react to it in the theater, the Filipino dude or whatever, like one of High Evolutionary's servants, the one with the computer in his head.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I can't remember his name, but... Yeah.
He fucking like slapped Rocket into the cage. And I feel like that's the most that I actually seen that depicts that.
But they made it a point to see him, to show him walking away and like punching the other cages.
Yeah.
Meaning that you just like, it's like a left for your imagination
thing. It's definitely implied. Yes. Yeah, it's for sure implied. And
but did you notice the switch too? Because before that, you don't see him ever touch those animals.
What?
Like, you don't see him touch Rocket at all.
Who?
That dude. The assistant.
Okay.
Until... the High Evolutionary goes, yeah, just incinerate them and prep him for surgery. Then he starts slapping him around because like, you can tell that like Rocket's most likely the High Evolutionary's like prize possession time.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I like that they show that like the High Evolutionary's whole thing is perfection. Mm. Like he's just trying to perfect what he, again, most likely hates about himself because he couldn't figure something out that Rocket figured out in a few seconds.
A lot of the criticism was on High Evolutionary's yelling. I had no problem with it because he's a crazy genius.
Wait, did they not think that the guy who's tearing apart animals was going to be like insane?
Yeah, so I didn't really have a issue with the fact that he was yelling the entire movie. But honestly, he wasn't even yelling the entire movie. It was more of like frustration almost. And like you kind of got that. And like you could be frustrated and not yell, but also the fact that he's just crazy and so hell-bent on creating the perfect species, it's fucking excusable why he's yelling all the time.
Yeah, but he's so bent on, like, getting Rocket and, like, perfecting this thing that he overlooks details. Mm-hmm. I thought that was funny because, like, Peter getting the jump on him mm-hmm. and trapping his assistant with him, like, Groot hiding the guns and stuff.
That was a really cool fight scene.
Yes, that was really good. Also, another thing I want to talk about Groot later, but that was the scene where I talked about. I'm like, they're getting away with a lot in this scene because they drove that dude through the ground, drowned him in water, mm-hmm. and then carved a metal piece out of his head.
Yeah. And you don't see it, but again, it's all this implied stuff that like you can hear too, like the knife going into the guy's head to get the little pass key out or whatever out of his head. And it's weird to think that like Marvel's like getting away with this stuff now, which I'm fucking fine with, obviously. But it's just really cool to see that like if it serves the story, just fucking put it in there, right? And it served the story because fucking Peter Quill, he was pissed that they did that to Rocket. That's like his best friend. He was fucking pissed. So I can definitely see Peter Quill. If Peter Quill gets mad about Gamora and like hits Thanos on the head, I can definitely see him killing some like fucking random person, right? Some random henchman, and just stabbing the shit out of his head and then pulling out whatever they need. I liked how Peter Quill was portrayed in this because they opened up with like him being drunk. So let's talk about Peter and Gamora real quick. How do you like where they went with that storyline? Because in the end, they don't get back together. But they hint at it.
They hint at, like, I think they hint at Gamora understanding why she would have liked Peter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's fucking perfect because if they would have just, like, had them kiss and had her, like, you know, get her memories back or whatever, I'd be like, that's so lazy, right? Like, that's not, it doesn't feel earned. And the fact that, again, that nobody died, you can pay that off later too, and then that will give it enough time to the point where like, okay, I'm cool if they get back together. But I love what they did with Gamora's storyline. Again, this is a different Gamora. She didn't go through the same stuff. She didn't go through all the adventures with the Guardians. So yeah, she wouldn't just go directly back to Peter. I like what they did there.
I like the hint, because in the beginning of the movie, like I said, when Peter's drunk, Nebula picks him up, mm-hmm. puts him in bed,
yeah.
and he holds her hand and goes, I love you, Gamora. Mm-hmm. And you can see that hurt her because the entire time she was being tortured because Gamora was better. Mm-hmm.
And now it's the same thing.
Now it's the same thing, but from a different person. And so, at the end of the day, all Peter really needed was a reason not to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And he got that shit as soon as Rocket got hurt. And he starts blaming himself. He's like, oh, it's my fault.
Yeah.
So introducing Gamora back into essentially the source of why he got Rocket hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really his fault, but why Rocket got hurt.
It really worked for me in the sense that, again, this is not the same Gamora. And then Peter Quill, it goes with his arc because he's always been running, right? That's the whole theme. He's been running from Earth. He's been running from all his trauma. And I think Gamora was that like final step or that final push to get Peter where he is at the end, which is Earth. Mm-hmm. And the post-credit scenes, let's go with the last post-credit scene first. The legendary Star-Lord will return. I feel like that was something that we thought the entire time. Kang Dynasty is coming up, the next Avengers movie, so I think he'll probably play a pretty big part in that. And also, if you're going up against Kang, who have different variants and stuff, you're going to need more help. I feel like Star-Lord being on Earth now, that gives them the in to bring back the Guardians also, just in case if they ever need them, if they want to. If they don't want to, they don't have to, because the Guardians are doing their own thing. And everything kind of has their own bookend, you know, if they want to.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking about, like, what they could do with Peter now?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They have a lot of options. Again, Peter now knows multiple people on Earth because of Endgame mm-hmm. and Infinity War. He's met and introduced, like, the Guardians to the rest of the people, the heroes on Earth. Nobody remembers Spider-Man anymore. I'm assuming that extends to the people in space.
Well, they don't know who Spider-Man is.
Yeah, well, they don't know yet who Spider-Man is, but they could still, you know, contact Spider-Man if they really wanted to. Mm-hmm. In the comic books, he is married to Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, you brought that up the other day. And then after seeing the movie, I was like thinking about that too, what you said. I was like, okay, well, then I guess they could do it now that Star-Lord is on Earth.
If they wanted to push it to like wait to like Secret Wars, because I remember that's what we said mm-hmm. most likely the X-Men would get introduced.
And it's perfect too, just because, you know, the whole Gamora thing, right? Gamora and Peter, they're not together, but they got their closure. So now Star-Lord can move on.
Yes.
So the Kitty Pryde marriage makes a lot more sense now in regards to like the entirety of the MCU storyline.
Yes. And that paves a way for them to essentially have a fan base that was already installed and reintroduce an older fan base.
Mm-hmm.
So like the Guardians with Peter and an old X-Men fan base with like Kitty Pryde.
Also, that's something that they could have never done.
Yes, they couldn't do that before.
Yeah.
So they have, like I said, I see the way that even though James Gunn very obviously frustrated with Marvel, he's still going to build them a way to like connect his story.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that, you know, James Gunn was wise, number one, to uplift all of his characters just so that the future filmmakers, if they ever make a Guardians of the Galaxy 4 or if they make, you know, if they ever include the Guardians in anything else, they have like a solid base of where everybody is, right? So if they want to use the Guardians team, which is the first post-credit scene, let's talk about that real quick. Who's in there? Rocket, Nebula, Groot, Kraglin.
Huh? I don't think Nebula was there.
Not Nebula, sorry. I didn't mean Nebula.
It's the child. I can't remember her name.
Yeah, Phyla Vell, who is Quasar in the comics. She becomes Quasar. And so she's probably going to be Quasar. And then not Nebula, though. I was thinking fucking Warlock.
Right? Yeah, Adam Warlock,
yeah.
So
that's the new team.
And in all honesty, it's a way more powerful team now.
Yeah, it's definitely more space-based.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's got a guy who can legit just breathe in space. You have...
Oh, he can do a lot more than that.
Well, yeah, he's like they're going to be like their fucking weapon.
Yeah.
You have Rocket, who is, again, essentially a supercomputer. He can build shit. By shit, I mean like he can build actual spaceships.
He's the captain, though.
He's the captain, and I told you in the second one, it started to seem like Rocket was taking more of the leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And I just he went full on with that in this movie, with legit just Rocket becoming a leader. And Rocket was also like sort of the bind that holds them all together, because as soon as Rocket like starts dying, they all start sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was. I could see them. I don't want them to make a fourth one, honestly. That was a really good ending.
I don't want them to make a fourth one yet. Give them like 6-7 years.
If they do, I honestly would want them to sort of check in with James Gunn and be like, who do you think?
Oh, yeah. No, they definitely will, because this is James Gunn's baby, right? And James Gunn built this shit from the ground up.
And it'd also be smart. It's not like it's not like the fucking 90s where you'll have beef with like another like studio. Mm-hmm. Go like compare shit to each other.
That's the thing, too. Kevin Feige and James Gunn are really good friends still, even after all the stuff. Yeah. Right?
So Kevin Feige did not want to fire him?
No, he didn't. Yes. Yeah, it was Disney.
Yeah, so again, if you really like want to go on with Guardians, go get his approval. Be like, hey, who should we have direct this? Mm-hmm. And he'll most likely point you to a director that's going to change the story completely.
Yeah.
Because that's what I feel like James Gunn would want. He does not want the same story. He wants someone to bring their own like their own approach to it. Mm-hmm. Obviously not fuck everything up, but like,
yeah,
you're not pulling an Endgame here.
I can see them bringing everybody back, like the OG team. You know, Dave Bautista, he said that he wouldn't come back. I think he'll come back eventually if James Gunn gives him his blessing for a story, and James Gunn thinks it's a really good story. What's stopping Dave Bautista from thinking that too, right? So I think that he's more likely to come. I think that Zoe Saldana, she said she's done, but I feel like she just wants a break, maybe. Yeah. And they'll all come back. Dude, Secret Wars is coming up around the corner. Yeah. You can literally bring back anybody, or you don't have to. But there's possibilities, is all I'm saying. There was something I was going to say. Okay. This is easily, like, the best MCU trilogy, right?
Yes. Oh, easily.
Like, disregarding the Avengers movies, which doesn't really tell, like, a cohesive story between Avengers 1, 2, and 3.
One's a standalone, 2 and 3 are connected.
2 and 3 are connected.
Yeah.
No. 3 and 4.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right.
Are connected.
So, 1.
Age of Ultron.
1 and 2 are completely disconnected.
It's like Age of Ultron and Civil War are more connected.
Yeah.
Age of Ultron and Infinity War, you know?
Yeah. And then, yeah, it's a complete, the villain from Age of Ultron is a completely different character in the third one.
Yeah. So, okay, it's easily the best, right? When you watch Guardians 3 and go back and watch 2 and 1, this is like exactly what James Gunn wanted to do with the movie the entire time, because it flows so well. Guardians 2, one of my favorite Marvel movies of all time. Guardians 2 ends with Yondu's funeral, right? The last scene, the very last scene, is Rocket looking up into the sky. The first scene, the first fucking scene of Volume 3, besides like the backstory stuff, it's Rocket just looking. And you instantly know that like these two are connected, bro. It's such a great linear storyline through three movies. It's a classic comic book trilogy. It reminded me of Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3. Like how, yeah, it reminded me of that. And it reminded me of OG good comic book movies. I really like this fucking franchise.
I mean, it goes farther than just the Rocket scene, though. Mm-hmm. Because if you also remember, I think it was either the mid-credit scene and it was Sean Gunn practicing the whistle.
Yeah.
And the entire beginning of this movie, that's what he's doing. He's just like trying to get the whistle down correctly. And speaking of bringing back characters, again, I think they will bring back characters because Michael fucking Rooker comes back in this movie and he's dead in the second movie.
Yeah. Okay, well, he doesn't come back.
He
it's like
it's a cameo, quick, small, like little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that was really nice. I didn't even expect that. It's been so long since Guardians 2. I completely forgot about what happened with Yondu and how pivotal he was to the other Guardians. So
good movie.
It was so good, and I feel like Marvel needed this really badly too.
Yeah.
Especially with the stuff going on with Jonathan Majors and, you know, Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania not really doing well. They needed a win. They needed something really big, and I think this movie was that.
With this movie, did it really fucking good for an opening weekend. I don't think it didn't do as good as Mario did, obviously, because that was just a 5-day weekend. They got a boost on everybody. But what was it? What did you say the number was?
So are we getting into the movie news now?
Oh no,
is that what you're trying to do?
I just included this into this part.
Oh, okay. Yeah, man, it's a huge success. It made $282 million. So obviously, Marvel needed a win, and they got one. $282 million at the worldwide box office. Do you see it joining the billion-dollar club?
I don't. I do see it having really good legs.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yes. Word of mouth, and I already saw it three times, yeah. Right? I didn't do that with Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. I didn't watch Black Panther Wakanda Forever more than once.
I watched it twice. But. Uh-huh.
And it's just like, it's that word of mouth, you know? It carries movies.
I'm watching it Thursday. I already know when I'm watching it next.
Yeah, yeah. It what do you call it? That's what happened with Avatar: The Way of Water, right? It was a very good story. It was a story-driven movie, and you know, word of mouth carried that for like 3 months straight, and it became like the number three movie of all time. It's not gonna get there. I don't know if it'll make a billion though.
I don't imagine.
I really want to say yes, but.
Yeah, I don't imagine it will. I think when it's all said and done, if we look back to it years and years from now, yes, it will.
Yeah.
It was all like, you know, the post like movie shit mm-hmm. coming out. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to beat the other two though, for sure.
You think so?
Yeah. I do think this is the best, obviously, of the three.
Yeah.
It's also in my top, I'll say five, because I'm not 100% sure what movies I have in there yet. I need to look at all of them.
I really want to rate it 3-2-1, but I've been thinking about Guardians 1, and it's a great, perfect, like introductory superhero movie. I really do like Guardians 2 a lot, though, so I think I'm going to stick with 3-2-1. I think it just gets better, everything, just like John Wick.
I think 1 was really good. Mm-hmm. It sets up 2 so well. I think 2 is the hardest to pull off because you're both setting up another movie and bouncing off of another movie.
See, 2 is my favorite, but I can see why not a lot of people don't like it, you know?
I don't know why they wouldn't like it.
Well, it's just a lot of comedy. Yeah. Like, a lot of comedy, and it's the fact, like James Gunn knows how to write a comedy scene, but if you put a lot into a movie, not everything is going to land with everybody, and I think that's what he did. But I just love 2 because of the character stuff, and yeah.
I'm going 8.5, 9, 9.5.
Mm, okay, so yeah, they're pretty close to each other either way.
Yeah, I just think that they're so, he's very, very good at it, and you can see it in the shows he makes and the other movies he makes mm-hmm. at continuing a story.
Yeah,
like Peacemaker, episode to episode to episode, mm-hmm. continuing the story.
Yeah, and James Gunn, he's gonna be doing a lot of DC stuff soon, which we're gonna talk about in the movie news. But yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, very, very good movie. We both gave it a 9.5 out of 10. And definitely our favorite of the trilogy. It also is a huge success, made $282 million at the box office worldwide, and it's just still going. It might get close to a billion, maybe 900 million, who knows. But yeah, whatever you guys thought down below, just comment what you guys thought about the movie, what you guys want to see next for the future of the Guardians of the Galaxy, and any predictions. We're going to go straight into the movie news now. We're talking about a lot of Guardian stuff in James Gunn. So yeah, just bear with us. There's not that much movie news today. Yeah, so first story of the day, James Gunn. He has confirmed doing press for Guardians of the Galaxy 3 that Crypto, the Superdog, will appear in Superman Legacy. Crypto, the Superdog, do you know like a lot about him?
I watched DC Super Pets. That's pretty much the only thing I have on him.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to be in there, and it's a classic James Gunn move to give us like a dog or like an animal sidekick in his movie. I like the idea. That begs the question, though, what kind of tone is James Gunn going for in his Superman Legacy? Because I didn't think they were going to bring in Crypto the Superdog.
This is the best explanation I can give you for the type of tone it is, but the first Shazam movie.
Yeah.
Where you're building like legit from the start.
Yeah,
and you're introducing, because at the end of the day, Superman does have a family. Mm-hmm. He has his dog. He has, I don't know when they're going to choose the origin of this movie. He'd have Lois Lane or his parents, as well as obviously Krypton. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of people had issues with it, though, with having like a Crypto the dog in it.
So here's where I'm at. We're taking his comments at face value, right? But what if he's just saying, oh yeah, no, like Superman's going to have a dog named Crypto. It could literally just be a regular dog, right? And then he names him Crypto. Mm-hmm. That could literally be it. Or you can go as far as No, yeah, Crypto, Superdog, like, go save those people out of that falling building, right? You can go completely, you know, like, completely fantastical with it. I don't know where he's going to go. You know, obviously, with the track record, he's made Scooby-Doo, so he has a fucking track record with talking dogs. And then Rocket Raccoon, obviously.
He also has the dog he just had in the movie.
Yeah, I know, yeah. So he is, he makes animals characters in his movies. So Crypto, yeah, he's going to be in Superman Legacy. I don't know what kind of tone he's going to go for, but I trust James Gunn at this point. What about you?
No, I agree. I think whatever capacity he goes, whether it's dark, whether it's, I don't imagine it'll be dark, Superman. Mm-hmm. It could be. Fuck, we don't know.
Could be a little dark.
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw Guardians 3, but then again, I think he's going to go for a more hopeful Superman because the Snyder Superman stuff, that guy really mixed dark. Reviews. Yeah.
So. Again, yeah, he's a really good storyteller. So whatever he does, I do think this is going to be the thing, though. I think whatever he does with Superman will be the complete opposite for Batman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. Let's keep talking about some James Gunn. James Gunn stated also in a press interview that you can expect some of the Guardians cast to also be cast in his DCU. Who do you think are going to be cast in the DCU from the Guardians team?
I can only see two people. One, I'm going to try to pronounce her last name, Pom Klementieff. Klementieff, okay. I can see her playing a character in it. Like, a really good range for an actress. Mantis has, like, to feel everyone else's emotions. So, switching from emotion to emotion to emotion, also being a super lighthearted she's character. Beautiful. Okay. Get your fucking stop. Stop it.
Keep going.
I don't know what capacity she could play a character in, but I could imagine her, like, working in that, being one of, like, the main side characters in the office that they work at. They work at, like, a press office.
What's it called?
I'm not a big Superman fan.
Not Daily Bugle.
That's
obviously, yeah. But it's Daily something.
Daily Planet.
Daily Planet. Yeah.
Yes, I remember that. They work at Daily Planet. I could see her being one of the like the office characters there.
Yeah.
I do imagine not a superhero though. She would have to play a human.
I think not. Like, God, Twitter is fucking annoying sometimes because like when he said this comment, they're like, "Oh my God, he's casting Chris Pratt as Superman." No, bro, he's not gonna fucking maybe Booster Gold. That's something that you know. But yeah, I think that he's going to bring some people back, you know, for small roles. It could be a very small role, like you said, like an office worker, or it could be someone big. I heard that people were talking about Pom Klementieff as Zatanna, you know, the magician.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but I don't imagine he'll want to do that to them because like tying people to superhero roles, it like kind of railroads their career a certain way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, everyone's going to see Robert Downey Jr. for the rest of his life as Iron Man.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to see Tom Holland as Spider-Man.
Some people want that, though, bro.
Some people do want that, but I don't imagine if you're like, I don't know how old she is, but she's not a super old actress. And hey,
honestly, if I like how we keep pointing to the fucking picture of...
I'm staring. Oh, there's one staring at me. I don't know if you see this. Like,
yeah. No, what was I going to say? They start somewhere, you know? So she really was only in like... the holiday special and then the two Guardians movies and then like small roles in Infinity War and Endgame.
Yeah.
So she's been playing Mantis, but when you see like Tom Holland, for example, he played Spider-Man in 5 straight projects, but he also did small projects on the side too. So he did like, he did Uncharted. He did, that's not a small project, but he also did that, that Thomas Edison movie. Remember that? Yeah. I didn't watch it either, but we got it at the theater. So he does like different projects. He did the one with the Russo brothers called Cherry on Apple TV Plus. So I feel like you know, actresses and actors like that, they'll take the work and then do the side projects later, you know, or like as they have their time. So I don't know. I think maybe the most I can see, I've heard people say this too. Dave Bautista as Bane or Lex Luthor.
Fucking I was legit the two characters I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I was also going to say Mr. Freeze.
Yeah, or Mr. Freeze. I can see either one, but I don't think, I don't know. I don't know where they're going to go with that.
I think Mr. Freeze will be the most outside of the box for him.
You know.
It's not a super like physical character.
He played someone sort of similar in Blade Runner 2049. Sort of similar. So I would love to see that. because he wasn't in the movie for that long.
If we're talking like the most inside like typecast character from it, it would be Bane. Mm-hmm. Super like fighter. Bane's a very smart character. If they go the Nolan way, mm-hmm. he'll be like a genius. Yeah. But if they're using like the classic, like, you know, he's pumping like drugs into himself to get like stronger, it'd be that. That would be typecasted for David Bautista, and I know he doesn't like that.
Yeah, I don't think he would want to do that. He wants to do more serious stuff, he said before, too. So, but there, you have like a bunch of actors in The Guardians, too. So, I mean, it could literally be anybody.
I can't remember his name again. I always do this. Yeah. But he plays the like patrolman and like the fuck is that little fucking Nathan donut Fillion? Thing? Yeah, him as Commissioner Gordon.
All right.
Is he like, if they go younger, because I think they're going to go... No, they're going to go an older one. Never mind. Because it's a Batman Brave and Bold, right?
Yeah.
All right, yeah. Never mind. Ignore that. Bad casting.
You can cast anybody, honestly. You can literally cast anybody. The main actors that you have to get right, I think, are Superman, the Batman, and basically like the main heroes that you're replacing the other heroes with. So, yeah. You can literally cast anybody else. Whoever you want. So... Let's move on to the last story that we got here. A little bit of older news, so you might have heard this already, but Carl Urban is in talks to play Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat 2. This is something that I didn't expect. What about you? See,
like, I don't really give a shit about what people look like, but it's a video game, and that is very much like, do you look like this character? Mm-hmm. They had the perfect role for him sitting there in the first movie.
Kano,
he looks exactly like the motherfucker. Yeah. And he also has the same accent.
Yeah. And I think that Carl Urban, he doesn't really look like Johnny Cage. I get what they're trying to go for, though. I think they're trying to go for, like, Johnny Cage is a washed-up actor, you know, like, and he has some, like, redemption arc in the movie. I think that's what they're trying to go for. Then again, he doesn't look like him, but I'm sure that he can act. I'm not very familiar with Carl Urban.
Oh, really. I am.
Okay.
Oh, the boys.
Yeah.
He was in Dread. Mm-hmm. He was in Ragnarok as well.
Yeah, he was the dude with the two guns. Yeah,
murder arms or something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, Carl Urban in talks. We were just talking about Mortal Kombat 2 also like a couple episodes ago. So we're glad to hear some updates on that. I think that, you know, it's Johnny Cage. I feel like it's gonna be fine.
But the thing is, like, when you have Carl Urban again. Or they played a really, really good Kano, especially if you haven't watched The Boys, though, have you?
No.
His character they're kind of the same.
Mm, okay.
Really, like, violent characters, like, bad mouths, violent characters, like, talk shit to everyone. You have Patrick Wilson sitting right there. He would play a great older Johnny Cage.
Too old.
Glenn Powell.
Yeah, Glenn Powell, yeah.
Yeah, again, so. Typical blonde white guy.
He's already in final talks, which is crazy because... The report just came out, and they said that he's in final talks.
I mean, you never know how long they've been talking before it even gets first reported.
No, yeah. I understand. I just think that, man, like you said, Glenn Powell, that would have been great. And you have the money because you're making the sequel.
Yeah.
Like, the sequel, with the sequel comes more money.
It's one of the most popular video games. They're going to have money regardless just off video game sales.
Yeah.
Well,
no, actually, because it's not the same studio.
Oh, it's not?
Well, it's the same studio that made the first one, but the studio is putting up money up front for the movie.
I don't know.
Video game sales go straight back into making more video games. They better just fucking put it in the movie. Because video games are different than film.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, but the person who like owns Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
It's...
Yeah, buddy. Anyway, so... I'm just kidding. But yeah, man, Carl Urban as Johnny Cage. It doesn't move the needle for me on my excitement for Mortal Kombat 2. That being said, I didn't like the first Mortal Kombat as much. So there you go.
It was a 6 out of 10 for me.
If they bring back Scorpion and Sub-Zero and make that a better storyline,
well, I mean,
in this, then I can see it.
It happens in every fucking movie and every game. They die, they come back.
I guess, but I just want a better story because the first, like I said in the other episode, the first 10 minutes of that movie, fan-fucking-tastic. And then after that, it's like a 5, 4 out of 10.
All right. I got one other thing for you because we forgot to talk about it, but I did read it.
Are you talking about the Groot thing?
No. Oh, I forgot to talk about the Groot thing. Groot in like the first couple movies, very like as soon as one of the Guardians gets hurt, he starts attacking the person that hurt them, or he'll like go after that person and like either protect them or attack the person that hurt them. He gave Adam Warlock a second chance, even though Rocket, who's definitely the closest person to him, was hurt by Adam Warlock. And I thought that was really, really smart character development.
Yeah. And, you know, with this movie, man, we forgot to talk about it in the spoiler part of the... We're done with the movie news, by the way, so that's all. But one last thing with Groot, right? He's known for saying three words. Four words, really. It's I am Groot and we are Groot. There's a line at the very end, and he says, I love you guys, to the Guardians team. And at first I was like, okay, that's nice. I'm glad that we saw that. Instantly I was like, did he actually say that? Or are we just hearing that? And I thought back to a TV show called Warrior on HBO, where they're all Chinese characters. And the show starts off with them speaking Chinese, and then like, some camera movement and it warps into English, so it's like us, the audience, can understand that. I think that's what they were doing. And then James Gunn, like 2 days ago, confirmed that that's what they were doing, that Groot, we are part of the Guardians now, so we can understand Groot finally. And when I watched it again, you just notice that nobody like reacts to him speaking English, right? So they all are probably hearing I am Groot still. But us, for the first time, we're finally understanding what he says. And I thought that was really smart. I think that's a good way to kind of, you know, thank the fans, really, for being a part of the team. So.
Good. I wasn't the part I was going to talk about, though.
Okay.
It was the part I wanted to talk about. Yeah, it is what I forgot, though. Now that Guardians is over, what movie are you looking forward to?
Oh, 100%, I think it's The Flash. Yeah. You would think for me it'd be fucking Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
But it's 100% The Flash, because The Flash just reminds me of Back to the Future with superheroes. And you know, that's such an interesting movie, and it's such an interesting premise. With Barry Allen going back in the past trying to fix his future, but then he fucks shit up. It's literally Back to the Future. So I'm very much looking forward to it, especially when they showed the movie 2 months early at CinemaCon. That shows balls, because if the reactions weren't good, then, you know, yeah, for the next 2 months you would have just heard people talking shit about it. But they didn't. For the next 2 months, they started talking very, very, very well about it and how it's one of the best superhero movies of all time. So that is definitely the most I'm looking forward to. What about you?
Again, I answered this a few episodes ago. Mm-hmm. The Marvels.
Yeah. Still? Even after?
Still. Now, especially because of this movie.
Why?
Because when I watched the trailer, it looked like, it didn't look like it just, hey, these three random characters are teaming up. It looked like they were going to combine their stories in a really good way. Like, hey, they're all affected by each other, and this movie will determine the outcome of like what happens with their stories.
See, I didn't get that from that trailer. Why? Because it was a teaser trailer, and I was just like, okay, they're just.
I also watched it right before the movie again,
and it feels like, again, it's the teaser trailer, so we don't really know the story, but it just feels like, hey, these characters are supposed to be connected. Let's put them all in one movie. That's what it feels like to me.
To me, it kind of felt like it was going to go that way anyways.
Yeah.
Especially with the show and the movie, with her meeting Monica when she's a kid. I don't know if it's the same Monica or not. I don't think it is.
What movie are you talking about?
First Captain Marvel, she meets Monica Rambeau as a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because so it's...
In the 90s. Yeah. I mean. Yeah. So her aging up, she's probably going to remember Captain Marvel.
She does.
Yes.
Because in WandaVision... has a little comment. Yeah.
And then there's the whole Miss Marvel idolizing Captain Marvel.
No, connection. Yeah, I see the connection. It doesn't feel strong to me.
I mean, we'll see. That's why I'm excited for the movie, because this is going... I'm excited for the movie in a bad and a good way.
I'm just surprised that that's what got you excited for it, but not Spider-Verse.
No, I mean, Spider-Verse, I know it's going to be good. Again, the same way I was excited for this movie.
So you know that it's going to be good, but you're not most excited about it?
No. I don't know how to explain it to you in a better way.
Do you know that the Marvels is going to be good?
No.
Okay, so why are you more excited about that than Spider-Verse?
Because I think that will be like the surprising part to me. If it's a great movie, I'm going to be very surprised. And if it's a bad movie, I'm also going to be very surprised.
Okay.
But like it's the same way that you were very excited for Guardians because you were hoping it was going to be a great movie. And it was, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I know that Spider-Verse is going to be a good movie. It'd be hard for them to do way worse than the first movie.
I see that.
There is a potential to do really, really bad with the Marvels. There's also a potential to do really, really good. So
that's the movie you're most curious about then?
That excites me.
Looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. All right. Obviously, Flash, what's your hype level for Flash?
I'm not a DC person by any means, but I want to see the Snyderverse fans shut the fuck up.
For once.
Yeah. I'm sorry. If they waited for the reviews to come out and go, you know what? That Supergirl's ugly. The costume looks stupid. You can no longer say the movie's bad.
Yeah, I don't know, man. And I'm a fan of the Snyder movies, but the fan base has made me hate the fucking movies. Even more.
It turns me off from... I don't think I watched Justice League. I didn't watch Justice League, either of them.
Justice League was bad. Zack Snyder's Justice League was good.
Okay.
That's all you need to know.
But is it that much of a difference?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. Huge difference.
All right. Anyways, I'm very excited for the Marvels. I'm obviously going to watch Flash and Spider-Verse.
Yeah. All right. That's all we got for you today, guys. You know, we reviewed Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. We really enjoyed it. Talked about some movie news, a lot to do with Guardian stuff. So we're going to put that all aside for a little bit. Finally got our Guardians of the Galaxy 3. We've been looking forward to that for so long. And what's next week? What comes out next week?
I actually was about to ask you that. I have no idea.
May 8th.
Let me check my schedule.
Or this week, I mean. So whatever the next movie is, we will be sure to be reviewing it next episode. And make sure you guys follow. I didn't say any of this. Make sure you guys follow it.
Knights of the Zodiac.
Okay, so we're going to be reviewing Dragon Ball Evolution next week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. Before we go, make sure you guys follow.
what? The Piccolo just popped into my head.
Make sure you guys follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube now. You can subscribe to our channel. We post there. Every single week, so be sure to follow us so you guys don't miss any of our content. We have a TikTok, so you guys can follow us on TikTok. And bro, I'm trying to do the fucking outro. We have a TikTok, so be sure to follow us there. We have Instagram. All the stuff will be down below. And we appreciate you guys listening to us. Hyder, anything else you want to say, you fucking bitch?
I love that. I'll see you guys next week.
Alrighty, guys. Thank you for listening. We'll see you guys next week.